With the Sig Sauer leading the way, Ryan crawled out of the steep ravine and reached the top of the cliff. Pausing for a moment to wreck the area, he studied the tattered bodies of the Corps littering the sandy ground. Large caliber rounds had chewed them apart, along with small explosions, maybe that 25mm cannon he had heard about. But this was no recent fight. The ripe smell of the corpses made it clear that the Corps had been chilled a while ago. Hours, maybe even a full day. Odd thing was, no buzzards were feasting on the meat, not even the scorpions or the red ants. Maybe even the fragging insects knew how dangerous that Jinkaja shit was that saturated their flesh. Standing slowly, Ryan listened for a minute to the wind blow and the crackling of the fire. If this was the only way into the sinkhole, then it made sense for the Corps to be waiting for them to come out here. Black hair whipping about his face, Ryan swept the killing field with the muzzle of the deadly blaster, ready for betrayal from the deaders or the soil underneath. The airborne salt particles made it difficult to see, but the area was clear. Could be Gaza got them all. Finally satisfied, Ryan whistled sharply twice through his teeth and stepped out for the others to ascend. Helping one another up the last few yards, the rest of the companions gratefully reached the floor of the desert and looked over the battlefield. Jack pointed at what appeared to be merely churned sand.
Tire tracks. APC was here.
A day ago, maybe less.
Bending, Dean lifted the spent brass from a 50 cal and inspected the bottom before sniffing the dirty inside.
Homemade, not pre-dark loads. What was that?
Mildred glanced about nervously. Her arms ached from the hurried climb, and the woman felt vulnerable just standing there in plain sight. A few seconds later, another explosion came from within the city, the cornice of a skyscraper exploding into pieces, the entire roof breaking apart to slide off and plummet into the streets below. Studying the fiery metropolis, JB slung the Uzi and dug out his long eyes to wreck the cityscape as the thick clouds thinned for a moment, moving to the force of the northern wind.
The angle of the blast is wrong for that to have come from this side. It came from across the city, say about 20 degrees to the... Dark night. There's a land tank over there. No, wait. There are two of them. Big as anything I've ever seen.
Alone?
Some smaller wags, too. Couldn't get a good look.
Christy squinted to try to see past the conflagration.
Is the war wagon APC?
JB lowered the long eyes and compacted it before tucking it away into his bulging munitions bag.
Converted trucks, machine gun blisters, rocket pods on the roof, and what sure as shit looks like a radar dish.
Just sitting there, or is it turning?
Turning steadily.
That means it's probably working.
A hard smile came to Ryan's face.
Could be Warwag 1. That's gotta be the traitor. He and Abe escaped after all and reached a stockpile.
Indeed. Logic dictates it to be so.
Estimating the direction the rocket traveled across the pre-dark city, Ryan leveled the Steyr SSG-70 and swept the opposite desert cliff with the scope. He had only seen Baron Gaza once, with the sun at his back hiding his features. But if there was anybody shouting orders while the others ran to obey, that would be him. And Ryan would see if the 7.62mm long cartridges of the sniper rifle could do what the missile couldn't. For just a brief moment, Ryan saw an APC about a half mile away sitting on the edge of the cliff, and then it was gone behind the black smoke once more. The urge came to try anyway, as he had before, to chase off the core, but the rangefinder on the scope told him that it was too distant for an accurate shot. Ryan lowered the long blaster.
No good.
Too bad about the Holland and Holland. You would have had the range with that.
But not the accuracy needed. A sniper weapon is a hell of a lot different from a standard long blaster or an assault rifle.
Like a knife is to a scalpel, right?
Exactly.
Pulling a plastic mirror from a pocket, Ryan debated trying to flash the traitor a message. But even if the man saw the reflected light, would he recognize the old codes or strike back instantly with a missile? Fireblast, he didn't even know if it was his traitor or merely somebody new using the rep to do business. If that was the case, then a flashing light might be mistaken for blaster fire and bring down a shitstorm of lead their way. Best to stay low for the moment.
Let's get moving. We can go into the desert, use the dunes as cover. Last place we want to be is between any war wags during a rocket fight, without some steel covering our ass.
Shuffling his boots in the sand, Dean frowned.
We're just gonna leave?
We should take to the high ground, reconnoiter the situation from the top of a dune.
Nah, that's triple stoop. Up high, we'd be seen and catch a lot of lead. No, we stay low and leave. That's a smart thing. They're in wags and we're on foot. So let them fight it out, and we'll come back when the smoke clears and see who was the winner.
If anybody wins.
Christy looked skyward.
Check up there.
Craning his neck to follow her direction, Ryan saw the roiling storm clouds overhead were darker, more yellow than usual, and the ever-present smell of acid rain was increasing. Nuking hell. A chemstorm was coming, and that would change everything. Down below, the city was on fire, with a droid hunting them and muties everywhere. Up here were battling war wags and flat open desert where the acid rain would easily catch them and strip them to bare bones in only a few screaming minutes. Damned if they tried to escape in any direction. That left only one choice.
If we're gonna get chilled, it might as well be on our feet. Double time. Let's go see who is in that APC and convince them we need a ride.
Jack massaged his aching left arm in its sling.
And if Gaza?
Then we take it away from him. Let's go.
Moving through the jumbled ruins, Gaza led the way into the choking hot chaos. The smell of acid rain was a lot less noticeable down here, the thick smoke masking the smell of anything else in the atmosphere. Masked by the swirling black smoke were tall honeycombs of flame, burning buildings with fiery tongues lashing out every opening, a few structures reduced to only the twisted outline of the softening steel frames. Glowing ash drifted past the two people like a snowstorm in hell, the red-hot residue floating on the thermal currents of the destruction. Gray soot mixing with the sparkling cover of salt dust everywhere and turning the clean wintry appearance of the Texas city into filthy graveyard pallor. Softly in the background came the constant crashing of glass as window after window shattered from the pressure and heat, the shards and slivers raining down to smash onto the sidewalks and streets once more. Many of the corpses in the street were reduced to bones and shoes, their clothing removed by the sharp beaks of the buzzards and vultures to reach the dried flesh and organs. But the scavengers were starting to leave, abandoning the wealth of food to fly away and take roost into the windowless stores of the city to start anew on other bodies. Only the millipedes in the street stayed, the insects unconcerned with the growing heat and the smoke. Staying well clear of the writhing bugs, Gaza and Kathleen kept in the open as much as possible and used their weapons freely. Time was pressing, and ammo spent saved precious moments. A sudden flurry of movement at a sewer grating made the Baron jerk back and fire a long burst from his M16. The hardball ammo threw off sparks as it hit the corroded grating, but a few rounds passed through the small holes, and something shrieked in the darkness. Echoing slightly, the cries faded, as if retreating into the distance.
We're in a goddamn muty pit. Shoot anything that moves and let's haul ass.
Breaking into a stride, Kathleen braced the rapid fire at her waist and sent a spray of lead into a flock of buzzards in their way. Several birds dropped to the ground in a fluttering of feathers and gore, while the rest rose hurriedly into the gray sky. With some measure of satisfaction, Gaza was chilling the millipedes, grinding their bleeding forms under his boots. A scrawny desert rat darted from underneath a car to grab a juicy morsel of an aced bird, and Gaza contemptuously kicked it aside with a crunch of bones. Brass arching in streams, the man and woman blasted a path through the feasting scavengers and reached the wire fence encircling the park, only to find this section clear of anything living. It was as if they had crossed an invisible boundary that nothing was allowed to pass. Or was afraid to pass, Baron Gaza realized grimly. But the Sec Hunter droid was destroyed. He had seen it crash and explode. There was nothing to harm them here. This was a safe zone in the middle of the hellish ruins. But no one ever got chilled by being too careful.
Stand guard.
He walked sideways toward the nearest APC. It was just beyond a crashed truck, set between a huge army tank and two crashed Hummers.
I'll grab the wires and we leave.
Breathing deeply through her nose, Kathleen vigorously nodded in agreement as they proceeded past the tank. From the other side of the wire fence, Hundreds of things seemed to be watching them from the nooks and crevices of the city, as if hungrily waiting for the people to exit the park. Their hatred was palpable, like the beat of a powerful engine. In a thunderous roar, a building down the street sagged inward and started to collapse. Snapping her fingers for his attention, Kathleen twirled a single finger in the air, then made a fist.
Bet your ass I'll hurry. Check the Hummer for any more of those rockets. We may need to blast our way out of here.
She nodded and started that way as he worked the latch of the heavy rear door and slipped into the APC. The interior was almost pitch black, and he scratched a road flare to life, filling the wag with searing red light. A scorpion on the wall scuttled away, and Gaza thrust the flare at the creature, searing off its pincers and cracking open the shell. Thrashing wildly, the scorpion fell to the corrugated floor and started stinging itself in blind madness. Grimacing at the sight, Gaza deliberately stepped over the dying creature so that it would linger in agony as he proceeded deeper into the steel box.